Chapter 40. "What is that?" Ao demands. Depa curls her fingers around the back of his seat, trying to keep her breathing steady. The feel of Caleb beside her is a comfort. Ahsoka at her other elbow is a boon. Gray at her back would be the last bulwark against the dark, but Pond, steady and loyal and brave, is there, and that will more than do. "It's the furthest from the sun, but from the readings, it's a jungle planet," Clip says with a frown. "How does that even work, especially with that cloud cover?" "Lightning storms," Depa says, and reaches out, trying to find Mace's mind in the shadows. There's a flicker, one spark of light, but she loses it again almost immediately, and the unease crawling down her spine grows teeth. A Sith Emperor experimented with adjusting the planet's weather, and that was the result. The heat generated by the storms keeps the planet tropical, even at the edge of the system. Caleb blinks, then glances up at her. "You know it, Master?" he asks curiously. He's not the only one looking. "Yes," Depa answers, and reaches up, drawing her hood over her hair. Grim certainty settles, and she says, "It's called Dromund Kaas. Once, a very long time ago, it was the seat of power for the Sith Empire." Pons's dark silence says more than words could. He steps up next to her, bracing himself on the back of Clip's chair, and glances over. Knowing the direction of his thoughts, Depa inclines her head. "He's there," she says softly. Pons grimaces. "He always does choose the most interesting spots to put down in," he says, and Depa manages a crooked smile, knowing it's true. Mace likes to roll his eyes about Obi-Wan and Anakin's tendency to get into trouble, but he's just as bad as they are. He just pretends at dignity better. "There should be a major city just above the equator," she says, leaning forward to look at the readings. "Or the ruins of one now." "You think they crashed there?" Ahsoka asks, surprised. "It's a big planet." "They're there," Depa says, certain of it. There's a moment of startled silence. Then Ao huffs. "So is that mystery cruiser," he says. "I'm getting a bunch of bio signs, too, not just animals." Depa's lightsaber is a heavy weight at her hip, and she tips her chin up. "The Sith Emperor's Citadel," she says. "That's where they are. Set us down there." "Lightning Squadron, brace for landing," Pond says sharply, and there's a rush of movement behind them as the troopers arm up and fall in. "Clip, stay with the ship and keep the engines hot. I want this to be an extraction, not a firefight."
"It may end up being both, Commander."
Depa watches the clouds part around the ship, lightning fracturing across the hull and a tall black spire stabbing skyward, lit with red like a splattering of blood. "Criff," Razor says from behind Pons, and his eyes are wide behind his helmet. "What even is that?"
"The Sith's idea of intriguing design," Depa says dryly, and shifts back. "Ahsoka, Caleb, stay close. There will be traps specifically for Jedi in this place."
"Yes, Master," Ahsoka says unhappily. Her eyes are fixed on the Citadel, unwavering. "Anakin is down there. I can feel it."
Pons looks at her, then at Depa, raising a brow. But Depa has no response. Can't find one. Not when all she can feel of Mace's presence is flashes through the darkness. Just moments, not the steady beacon he should be. And it settles like a stone in her stomach. Something is most definitely wrong.
"There," she says instead, and leans forward, pointing to a wide hangar that opens off the back of the tower. A Coruscanti diplomatic cruiser, red and gleaming, is sitting there already.
"That's where Anakin is. Set us down."
"You heard the general," Pond says grimly. "Ao, enough of a presence to justify the ATRTs?"
"Not enough space, given the dimensions of the hangar," Ao answers.
Depa thinks she catches a flash of red through the darkness, and she has to swallow. Everything here is dark, ruthless, and devouring, but without the simple, straightforward hunger of Harun Kal. Harun Kal at least gave everyone a fair chance. Dromund Kaas just wants to eat them all alive. Another flicker comes, one instant of Mace's presence behind the Veil of Shadows, and Depa reaches for it, desperately, grabs it, feels darkness and pain and grief and certainty. Then he slipped through her fingers again to vanish into the gloom. Slowly, deliberately, Depa curls her hand into a fist, breathes in, breathes out, marshals herself again, all too aware of what happened when she fell to the dark side, and refuses to become its victim again. A small hand curls into the edge of her sleeve, and Caleb looks up at her, eyes a little wide, but mouth set. "Is Master Windu all right?" he asks quietly. For a long moment, Depa stares at him, the face of this child in her care. Caleb in the aftermath of Harun Kal, in the wake of her fighting with Grievous, had felt like a chance at redemption, had felt like grace. She has every reason in the galaxy now not to fall. She just needs to remember that. "He will be," she says with perfect faith, and smiles at him, resting her hand on his shoulder. "We'll save him and then make him treat us to dinner. What do you think?" Caleb grins. "With dessert?" "Of course," Depa winks at him, and then turns her eyes back towards the Citadel, humor slipping away. It's not fear that buries it, but determination. Mace saved her from herself. For that, for 100,000 other things over the years, the very least she can do is return the favor, should it prove to be necessary. There's a whisper in his head that's growing, echoing, rebounding, and Mace can't shut it out. "Interesting," Palpatine says lowly, and glowing yellow eyes slide over the warblade, lingering on the shifting pattern laid into the metal. "A daring move, Master Windu. You tread so close to the dark side, and now you actively invite it to touch you? Perhaps you will be my next apprentice after all." "Dooku is losing his charm," Mace counters, and refuses to let Palpatine see the way he wants to falter, to drop the warblade and leave it, try for his lightsaber again. The cortosis's effect won't have faded yet, though, and Mace isn't about to face someone as dangerous as the Sith Lord without a weapon of some sort in his hand. The whisper is a low, furious voice, something heady and dark. It rises in time with the shifting pattern, and Mace can feel the pull of it, the way the blade sinks into every crack within him like the strangling roots of a jungle plant. It's finding his edges, his weak points, and Mace wants to drop it, to fling it to the side, but just like Vapod, just like touching the darkness to win and then coming back to the light, this will simply take more control than normal. There's power in the sword, though. Heavy, thrumming power that could be addictive if Mace let it. Like catching lightning in his hand, it burns. But it's intriguing, too. A wellspring ready to be tapped. The exact kind of thing that could give him the means to defeat Palpatine. Mace can feel it, all of the ways he could use the sword. Call the packs of Vornskers hunting outside. Control the hordes of reanimated Sith roaming the city. Call the Leviathan from its sleep, even, and leave it to stalk Palpatine through Kaas City, strangled in his own nightmares. Temptation, Mace thinks, and breathes through it, refusing to be swayed. "Dooku oversteps himself," Palpatine says, cruel. "He takes in strays, adopts petty causes. He is a Sith in name, but not in nature." The highest praise of Dooku that Mace has ever heard. He snorts and lightning crackles. Mace sets his feet, sets his jaw, and catches it on the blade of the sword. The warblade shudders in his grip, but takes the power, drinks it in. And after a long moment, Palpatine drops his hand again, stray threads of lightning scattering around him. The whispering gets louder, and out of the corner of his eye, Mace can see a shadow moving.
"If you keep discarding apprentices, you're going to run out," Mace says, and twists sideways around a stabbing thrust from Palpatine's lightsaber.
Sweeps the sword down, turns, rises, and Palpatine doesn't try to block the blade, but disengages, stepping back far enough to let the blade pass harmlessly. Mace doesn't hesitate, though. He leaps, lands, already lashing out, and Palpatine has to jerk to the side to avoid losing an arm. It's not enough to make him falter, though, and Mace twists around three abrupt slashes, breathes out. Along the edge of the room, in a clear line to where Cody is laying, one of the massive pillars shifts.
"I do not tolerate failure," Palpatine says coolly. "And each of my apprentices has failed to do more than hinder the influence of the Jedi on this galaxy. I would see them destroyed."
So easy. It would be so easy to feel angry about the war, about Qui-Gon, even about the Zabrak Palpatine likely twisted and corrupted and shaped. Mace knew Dooku once, looked up to him as a wise master, and his fall can't be laid solely at Palpatine's feet. But the continuation of it can. He wouldn't have fallen nearly as far without the Sith Lord's influence on him. Mace breathes through the righteous fury, refuses to let it rule him. He is angry, and that won't go away, but he won't let it be his downfall. Leaping forward, he lets the Force give him speed, twists past the lash of that red blade, and swings for the shatter point, the weakness in Palpatine's guard. He's quick, clearly a master swordsman, but one parry he can't avoid will short out his lightsaber, and then Mace will have the advantage. Palpatine hisses, falling back, and Mace presses that advantage, lunges, feels the warblade skim Palpatine's dark cloak, and slice open a long rent in it. Palpatine is fast, though, throws up a hand, and the Force that hits Mace is enough to knock him right off his feet, send him tumbling across the floor for an instant. In a heartbeat, Palpatine is moving, lunging, but not for Mace, for Cody, still unconscious on the ground. Mace throws himself in front of Cody, driving the warblade up in a gutting move, but Palpatine twists around it, falls back. Unwilling to let up, Mace follows, trying to parry even when Palpatine won't physically block him, trying to push him back. Here's a stir, slow, pained, and a groan. The shadow in the corner of his eye is getting darker, and in his hands the warblade burns.
"How interesting, Master Windu,"
Palpatine says lowly, turning, circling. Mace steels himself, keeping his body between Palpatine and Cody, keeping one fraction of his attention on that looming black column.
"That blade, do you know its history?"
"It isn't mine,"
Mace says simply. And he doesn't want it, wouldn't take it even if he could. It came to Cody, called to him, and Mace having it now is the same as Cody taking up his lightsaber in the tunnels. Temporary, spurred by desperation, and done with the full knowledge that they'll be returned as soon as the disaster ends.
"But you can feel the power of it," Palpatine goads. "Emperor Vitiate's own warblade, which once commanded armies. With it, you could call the undead to you, command the creatures of the dark side, crush the separatists, bring peace back to the galaxy. What a fight that would be, Master Windu. No more of your fellow Jedi dead. No more war. No innocent lives lost when you had your hands on the reins of the war."
The whispering rush in his ears rises, dark counterpoint to Palpatine's words. Mace grits his teeth,
pressing it back, and watches Palpatine with narrowed eyes.
"And you would teach me, of course,"
he says flatly. Palpatine's smile is thin, pleased. "Of course, I've made a long study of that blade, but never dared to wield it myself. But you suit it, Master Windu. You are a great warrior, and I would see you rise to even greater heights. The darkness in you longs for freedom, unrestrained by petty rules and traditions."
He chuckles, steps closer.
"Without the Jedi, you could rule the galaxy at my side. A warlord, benevolent, beloved. No more suffering, Master Windu. No more death.
The Sith will only ever lead to destruction."
A flicker of movement out of the corner of his eye makes Mace tense, but he doesn't turn and look, doesn't try to face the firming shadow there. Not an illusion, likely, but inconsequential. Palpatine is the threat right now.
"Ah," Palpatine says, soft, enticing. "But you care for the commander. You could save him. Without intervention, he will be an old man in 20 years, unlikely to survive to the full span of a human life. But I can show you how to stop the rapid aging. You can still save him, Master Windu. He is an enslaved soldier, bred to be cannon fodder and to die quickly, his purpose served. But it doesn't have to be that way."
Mace smiles, just faintly, just slightly. Palpatine doesn't know. He has no idea what Mace and Plo and Cody have done, what Shaak is arranging on Kamino. Freedom for the clones, and a stop to the rapid aging, and a better republic in the wake of it.
"No,"
he agrees, and tightens his grip on the warblade, feels its intent and hunger surge.
"It doesn't."
The blade tries to grab him, tries to sink its threads into his soul. With Cody, there was no force sensitivity to channel it, nothing familiar for it to seize upon. With Mace, the pathways are clear, and its power leaps forward, twisting itself into his veins, winding itself around his bones. It burns, molten metal beneath his skin, but there's darkness. There's also light beyond it. And between the two, caught halfway, there's a path that Mace has walked 100 times before. Dangerous, Mace knows. A step beyond his limits and he'll fall, dragged down and devoured, left a shell for the warblade to occupy. But Cody is behind him, unconscious and vulnerable. Anakin is behind him, trying so desperately to cling to the light. Before him is the Sith Lord, the cause of this whole war of so much strife in the galaxy. The shadow of a man crowned in darkness means nothing when Mace is facing someone who wants to tear the entirety of the Republic apart. Shifting his grip, Mace straightens, steps forward. He lets the blade dig into him, settle, coil. Prying it out of himself will be a deeply, painfully unpleasant task. But for later, for now, he takes that surge of strength, that intent, a warrior's fierce want for battle, and lets himself feel it. The thrill of a fight, the desire for victory, the enjoyment of facing a dangerous opponent and pitting himself against them, hoping to come out the stronger.
"You assume," he says,
and traces the shatter points woven into Palpatine's being,
"that even if I let myself fall, I would allow you to control me."
Palpatine pauses, and his eyes narrow.
"Child," he says darkly, "you could not hope to beat me."
Mace snorts, unimpressed.
"Hope to," he repeats. "Maybe not, but I will."
Palpatine's expression twists with ugly anger, and he lashes out. Mace catches the lightning on the warblade, watching the figure of a bearded man come clearer for just an instant in his periphery,
and lets knowledge of the risks sink into his chest. A slip, a moment of wavering, and a shadow of vitiate will take his body, return to some semblance of life. The Sith Emperor was defeated long ago, but shades of him still linger. Contingency plans. Mace refuses to allow this one a chance. Setting his jaw, Mace steps forward, bears the lightning back towards its source as it ripples and crackles off the sword. Palpatine snarls, effort showing in the lines of his face, and lightning vanishes, and Mace lunges, feels the Force grab for him, lifting him off his feet, and doesn't try to fight it. He lets it fling him back, twists as he's thrown, and hits the wall feet first, then flips and drops. Palpatine slips across the space between, too quick to track, and a second lightsaber falls into his free hand, burning crimson as it ignites. Mace ducks it, kicks out high and fast, and knocks Palpatine back, then raises the warblade. He almost catches the first saber as it latches out, but the second drives him back, a quick, vicious strike that just misses his cheek. Palpatine was holding back before, but this is a Sith Lord's skill. Another surge of the Force grabs Mace as he whirls to the side, flings him back spine first into the wall with a burst of pain, all the air knocked from his lungs. Mace doesn't hesitate. He ducks low, throws up the warblade to block another hit, then grabs for the hilt on his belt. There's no reaction from the crystal, no blade, and Mace curses silently, sidesteps a slash, lunges, warblade leading. And Palpatine sidesteps in a whirl of dark robes, then lashes out. Mace is gone before the Force can grab him this time. Leaps and falls and lands, twisting on his feet. Behind him is the open stretch of the hangar, and beyond it, Mace can feel all the souls still in Kos City, predators and undead alike. All of them reeking of the same Sith magics that are echoed in the Warblade, all ready to rise at his command. But he won't. He won't use that power, because that's one step down into the darkness without a clear path back up. With a leap, Palpatine closes the gap, and Mace can see the place where he's weakest, where one blow will destroy him. Arrogance tangles with skill, and the desire for power twists into hubris, and in Palpatine's structure, that's the flaw, the weakness. If Mace can reach it, he can use it, strike it, he'll be able to do what he told Cody he could. "Surrender, Master Windu," Palpatine says, grinning. "Surrender or be destroyed. It would be such a shame to lose a man of your skill. You would fare far better as my apprentice." "No," Mace says, flat, and Palpatine's mouth curves. He lashes out. The grip around his throat throws Mace back, lifts him off his feet, and he chokes. Desperately, he tries to call up the concentration to break free, tries to keep his grip on the warblade from loosening. But Palpatine's grip tightens until it feels like he's going to crush Mace's throat entirely. Then, like the wash of sunrise in a dark sky, a familiar presence fills his mind with light and copper and silk, and engines roar. A familiar ship swoops in to hover above them, and the ramp descends. On it, for just a moment, Mace catches a glimpse of a familiar figure standing poised, the star-bright glow of a green lightsaber. And then she's leaping, tumbling, twisting, falling, and she lands hard in a crouch, lunges without so much as an instant of hesitation right for Palpatine's unguarded back. "Master!" Deppa cries, even as Palpatine wrenches around to counter, just managing to bring his lightsabers up in time to catch her blow. The grip on Mace's throat vanishes and he drops, gasping for breath, and staggers to his feet. Above them, on the ship's ramp, three more figures appear. Two just leap, and a moment later, Caleb and Ahsoka hit the ground on either side of Mace, while Pons's jetpack fires. He lands as the two Padawans grab Mace's arms, helping to hold him on his feet. And Mace sees Palpatine turn, sees his eyes lock onto Pons as he shoves Deppa back.
"Commander, turn off all external microphones," he says sharply. "Pass on the order now."
Ponce hits a button on his comm without so much as pausing, then nods. Mace breathes out a silent sigh of relief, then nods back.
The Sith Lord can control troopers with an order, he tells Caleb and Ahsoka. Be careful.
Caleb pales but doesn't waver. Are you all right? He asks, even as grapple lines drop from the ship. Lightning Squadron slides down, quickly falling in, and Mace can't help but give them a tired smile. Signals them to head for the main door and check for more enemies with his free hand, and Razor nods, flashing an acknowledgement in return. He takes off at a jog, and Mace takes a breath, then raises the warblade.
Anakin is by the other cruiser, he tells Ahsoka. Caleb, Commander Cody was waking up. Get him aboard that ship.
Yes, Master, Caleb says, but Ahsoka is already running. Caleb rolls his eyes a little, takes one more look at Depa, and then hurries for Cody. The warblade still burns in Mace's hand, and Depa is quick and cunning and pushing Palpatine back, but...
Cover,
Mace signs, and Ponce nods, raising his blasters. It's enough, and Mace lunges low and fast, coming up behind Palpatine and striking out hard. Palpatine turns, automatic, quick, slashes the lightsaber out. It dies with a hissing crackle as it hits the cortosis, and Depa laughs. And here I was worried, Master, she says merrily, ducking low as Palpatine kicks out, then rising swift and ruthless. The flash of her sword is all grace, tightly leashed, Saresu rather than Vapod, but familiar. Mace fills in the gaps, pushes close in quick jabs while she blocks Palpatine's remaining lightsaber. And fighting beside Depa is as familiar as breathing, a pattern Mace would know in his sleep. She sees that his reach is shortened by the wounded shoulder and makes up for it, leaving him openings to get behind Palpatine, to harry him until he falls back. And Mace takes them. Together they push him back, drive him towards the edge of the hangar, and the surge of victory is exhilaration, intent. Mace can feel the shadows, but beyond them, Depa is nothing but light.
It took you long enough, he tells his Padawan,
and she rolls her eyes at him in a way she definitely learned from someone else, because it's certainly not one of Mace's expressions. I thought you'd appreciate time for a honeymoon, she retorts, circling Palpatine. He steps back, and Mace takes the opening, lunges in only to have Palpatine kick him in the chest and knock him back, foot just missing the stab from the warblade.
This is revenge for me not inviting you to my wedding, is it?
Mace asks, staggering back upright, and Depa laughs. Only a little, she says cheerfully, though her eyes don't shift from Palpatine. But it seems as though you've found a way to keep yourself occupied, Master. Chancellor, this is a new look for you.
Master Billaba, an unexpected pleasure,
Palpatine returns, as polite as if they were meeting in the halls of the Senate building.
You're rather far from where you should be.
Mace knows Depa, can feel the threads of righteous anger twisting through her, the way she acknowledges them and then lets them go. I believe I'm exactly where I should be, she counters. Two High Council members to see to your arrest seems sufficient. Palpatine smiles thinly.
Overconfident, as to be expected of a Jedi. But your presence is a boon, Master Billaba. Your death will push your master to the dark side quite well. Whether Anakin falls today or not, I will leave Dromund Kaas with a new apprentice.
Depa's expression goes flinty. You'll leave Dromund Kaas in chains, she says, and with nothing else. Mace?
Anakin won't fall,
Mace agrees, and steps closer, watching Palpatine's narrowed gaze flicker to him, and then back to Depa.
Surrender, Chancellor.
To you? Palpatine asks contemptuously, almost amused. To Jedi? I think not. Mace catches the movement half a second too late. Palpatine spins, throwing out a hand, and Depa yelps as she's hurled back across the hangar, right towards the edge of the building. They're too low for the fall to be dangerous to a Jedi, but Mace still lunges, ducks the sweep of Palpatine's lightsaber and drops low, lashing out with a foot at his ankles. Palpatine leaps, flips, flings Mace back with a hard shove of the Force, and then follows, blurring quick as he drives three hard strikes right at Mace's bad shoulder. Mace falls back, retreats even as he tries to parry, but Palpatine is too fast, and Mace can't get the Warblade up in time. And then, with a streak of blue, a blaster bolt comes flying right at Palpatine's head. Palpatine redirects it with a flick of his hand, then turns, grabs Mace with the Force when he tries to lunge, and casually flings him back into the wall, shoulder first. Mace hits so hard that the world grays out for a moment, and he tumbles to the ground on his knees, heartbeat suddenly too loud in his ears. Over it, he hears, "Commander Pons, execute Order 66. Mace raises his head, holding his breath, sees Pons turn his head towards him, grip on his blaster tightening for half an instant before he lifts it, and takes another shot right at Palpatine's chest. The surge of tangled relief and victory pushes Mace back to his feet, and he sees Depa on Palpatine's other side, just pulling herself back up onto the platform. Meets her eyes across the room, and she smiles grimly, reigniting her lightsaber as she advances. "More tricks, Sith Lord?" she calls out, and Palpatine turns to face her, giving Mace his back. "What will you have when all of those run out, I wonder?" "Skill, child," Palpatine says, patronizing. "Would you like to test me?" He glances sideways, towards Pons, and then to Mace. "Undermining the orders of the Galactic Senate, Master Windu. You tread close to treason here."
"You are not the Senate," Mace says quietly. "Not yet, not ever. When we drag your identity out into the light, Lord Sidious."
"If you can manage to leave this planet, my child, you two will find no one will believe you," Palpatine says, and it's a smug thing, dripping superiority. "Two Jedi murdering the Chancellor? You will be taken away as traitors, and Dooku will continue the war in my stead to bring the Republic to its knees."
Mace remembers that moment in the arena on Geonosis, the sight of Dooku, the shatter point of the whole war bound up in his bones. He could have killed Dooku then, but he'd fought Jango instead, weakened by sentimentality and the sight of a man who had once been a close friend.
"I think," he says evenly, "that I would much rather take my chances with Dooku."
"A pity you won't get the chance,"
Palpatine retorts, and lightning crackles from his fingertips as he flings out a hand. Not at Mace, not even at Depa. At Caleb, just hauling Cody's arm over his shoulder to drag him back to his feet.